Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. The title of the talk is Peculiarity. Deuteronomy chapter 26. So we'll start here. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honour, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. So after this scripture, I'll go through a few other scriptures that give the perspective from the other nations looking toward the chosen people, God's chosen people of Israel. But here it says here clearly that there was this relationship between Israel and God that started, and as a result of that, God was going to lift them up high above the other nations, make them a peculiar people to grant unto him praise and glory to his name and honour. That they may be a holy people, which we understand is a separate people. And it was because they followed God's statutes and judgments and hearkened unto God's voice. That's what made them peculiar. In a way, as a result of that, they had a set of customs that they followed. And we have an understanding of that when we read the scriptures, the way they ate, the way they acted, all these things, and their feasts and so forth that they took part in, they were separate from the other nations, and that made them peculiar because of their customs. And as a result of that, the perspective other nations had of them was this separation. So turn to Genesis chapter 43. So this here is the point where Joseph sets a meal up for his brothers. So before this, Joseph was sold into slavery, but it was all part of God's purpose, as Joseph reassured his brothers. And then he is now set as the prime minister in Egypt during a great famine, and his brothers have come to buy food. And at this point here, it's quite an emotional time. You know, it's funny, I've read this story quite a few times, you know, through the chapters, and at the end when he breaks down and cries before, like just about every time I start welling up, you know, it's just incredible because the way it all builds up to that point, it's just remarkable. And so we get to this point where the sons of Israel have come back the second time, and Joseph has decided to set them a meal. So Genesis chapter 43 and verse 31, this is after he cried with emotion. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread, or serve bread before these people. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, the youngest according to his youth, and the men marvelled one at another. So he set up his sons in order of when they were born. And of course, they didn't know Joseph at this stage. But the point I was making here is the Egyptians, it was abominable for the Egyptians to eat bread with the Hebrews. So the Egyptians could see that there was a separation between the Hebrews and the Egyptians, and it was actually abominable for the Egyptians to mingle with the Israelites or the Hebrews. And this was actually part of God's plan when you think about it. Israel came to Egypt and they multiplied. There's quite a few people that left in the Exodus, but in order to keep them separate, he had implanted in the Egyptians themselves a knowledge that the Hebrews were abominable and we don't want to mix with them. So there was this separation even at this early stage. The customs that the Hebrews had, and you can't kind of read from the other scriptures, they didn't really like shepherds. But anyway, there were customs that the Hebrews had that made them abominable to the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 4. That's a little peculiar event here, and you can read into it a couple of ways. But, we'll go to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 24. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met Moses and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah, who's Moses' wife, and she was a Midianite, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." So he let him go, God let him go. Then she said, "A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." So the point I'm making here is this circumcision, which was such a fundamental custom to the Israelites. It was laid down at Abraham's time. It was a sign of the chosen people. In fact, it said those that want to be part of the nation of Israel, if they are not circumcised, they need to be cast out. It was such an important custom to the Israelites. And as when you read these three verses, that important and fundamental custom was abominable to the other people around them. So even just that simple thing has elevated and separated the nation of Israel, and their customs have separated them from the other people, where the other people look on to the way they act, Israelites act, and don't like it. It's just a bad thing, and Zipporah was representative of that mindset of the surrounding people. It was considered disgusting in their eyes. Chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. So building up a picture here of over time, these Israelites are seen with clarity by others as being separate. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." So this whole time, prior to the Exodus, Moses was asking Pharaoh to go away from the land to offer sacrifices. But here Pharaoh said, "Look, just offer your sacrifices amongst us. You know, like, you don't have to go away. Just stay here and do it." But then Moses said, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." So there you go. That's another example of these customs that the Israelites had were an abomination to the Egyptians. And Moses understood that. He grew up in the house of Pharaoh himself, and he didn't want to offer these sacrifices, which were disgusting to the Egyptians, because he was afraid of being stoned. So there's that separation. Esther chapter 3. So this is just one verse here, just to tidy it up. Esther chapter 3. So by this point, the Israelites are in exile. So there's been hundreds of years where Israel were in their promised land under the kings, and now by this stage they're in exile. Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 3. And Haman, Esther chapter 3 and verse 8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them." Now, we can read elsewhere in Esther that that's actually incorrect. He's he's been a bit nasty there, saying that the king's laws, they don't follow the king's laws, because they did. They went to a lot of effort to follow the king's laws. But this whole point here, their laws are diverse from all people. They had other laws that they followed. They had a different god that they followed. And that strangeness caused unsettled this man called Haman. And he wanted to destroy the whole lot. But there was that point. Even though they were scattered in amongst all the people of the known world, they had separate laws, even after all these hundreds of years. Okay, back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 37. Exodus 12 and verse 37. So this is when Israel were actually leaving the nation of Egypt, the great Exodus. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. So I highlighted this particular verse here because with the nation of Israel, there was a mixed multitude that went with them. So the other people that weren't Israelites that actually followed them. And so there were other people that weren't Israelites that appeared to accept Israel's customs. Though I kind of a bit cynical, and I think that maybe they accepted Israel's customs because they could see the disaster that was happening in Egypt and the power of the living God, which is fine, you know, if they come around to accepting the customs after that. However, the events that happened after this, the many times that Israel murmured against God, I just wonder if that mixed multitude kind of encouraged those future murmurings. But there was, as you can read through the scriptures, the nation of Israel was to be an example, separate indeed, which was so important, but they were an example also to draw others to them. And those that were willing to accept the customs that were unusual and perhaps disgusting, abominable, they were willing to accept that through faith and follow the living God, then they could be incorporated into the nation of Israel. Okay, over to Isaiah chapter 42. And I think it's quite hard for us today to imagine how separate it must have been, you know, like from what they call Gentiles, from the Gentile perspective, looking at the nation of Israel and just thinking, oh, their customs are weird, you know, they hold weird feasts. I think it's hard for us to grasp that, but those scriptures I've just read there, you know, they kind of show how stark it was. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So this is a wonderful prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, God's own servant. He will not come in, you know, blazoning abroad and saying, no, this is wrong, you know, lift up his voice, you know, to proclaim himself to be great. He won't even He won't even break a bruised reed or a smoking flax. You know, he won't take part in trying to change things. You know, he won't put fires out and stuff. He'll just come in here quietly telling people about the kingdom of God. And it says here, he will not fail nor dismayed until it's accomplished. He'll have no form or comeliness. A great prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ to usher in a new way, a change. And he'll be the light to the Gentiles. Those people that were around found the customs of the Israelites abominable. He'll be a light to those people. This was the plan. This was the start of God's plan to bridge that gap that over about 1,000 years had become so wide because it was in the flesh. And this was his plan, to send Jesus Christ to bridge that gap to the Gentiles. Jeremiah chapter 31. Again, famous scriptures here. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I'll forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. So this is this was the plan. God had a plan to bridge the gap, and that plan entailed separating a people through the Spirit. It had nothing to do with the flesh anymore. It had nothing to do with ethnicity, as it did in the Old Testament. But now it's all about the Spirit. He'll have put this Spirit inside a people. That's how he will separate a people. A peculiar people now will be through the Spirit, not through the old law and through the old customs and so forth, but it's through the Spirit. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. So that concept of peculiarity and separation still applies, but it's through the Spirit now. It's through the Spirit. Which is just wonderful. You know, Jesus came as a light to the Gentiles, a relief, you know, that yes, this chasm has been bridged. You know, you can all come as one through the Spirit. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Excuse me. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So today, there is a list of signs. There are signs that follow a peculiar people. You know, it's not the customs that they undertake, the rituals that they undertake, but there are signs that follow that peculiar people. You meet someone who claims to be part of the peculiar people, the spiritual house of Israel, you can ask them if signs follow. You know, there's miraculous signs through the Spirit that follow that peculiar people today. Okay, over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. So this is such an important event, and Acts chapter 10, can read it at home and understand the process that God went through. You know, there were Gentiles of the Italian band who was faithful to God in the old law, in the way of the old law. You know, he was devout to Israel and their God. And but at this stage, there was still this separation in people's minds. Those that were filled with the Spirit were Jews, and so they still had in their mind, after 1,000 years of established tradition, I mean, it's a lot of tradition there that they've got to unlearn. And so they're still going about their ways, that there is still this separation in the flesh through customs between the Jews and the Gentiles. So God had to perform something miraculous. He had to, you know, I was thinking about this when I was preparing this. In a way, God created the gap. In a way, God instituted the law and he created the gap between Israel and the Gentiles. So God had to perform something pretty big to bridge that gap himself. And so we go through this, that Peter, who was upright in the Jewish traditions, he was shown by God that he should have no regard for men in the flesh, you know, through a dream and a trance. And he came to the house of Cornelius, this devout Italian. And in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." After those events beforehand, and then it came together, the explanation, it all twigged in his mind that he is not a respecter of persons, that he was able to walk into the house of the Gentiles, which was forbidden once. Verse 35, "But in every nation of all people, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." And so in boldness, Peter then, with his backing of God, knowing that God performed a miracle, with this backing, he's gone ahead and preached unto these Italians, these Gentiles, preached about the Holy Ghost and about Jesus and things of the kingdom of God. And then, in verse 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." And it's very important here to just imagine, you know, Peter being the leader of some other Jewish people that have come to a house of this bloke called Cornelius, who's got his mates with him. And Peter, they're kind of two different camps, I guess. And Peter's preaching to the Gentiles, and then they receive the Holy Ghost. And it says here that the circumcision which were believed, so they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues, they knew about this spiritual experience, they were astonished. And so they're sitting back thinking, oh yeah, Peter's preaching to the Gentiles, yeah, that's nice, you know, but then, whoa. They received the Holy Ghost. My goodness, there's something incredible here. And then it explains there in verse 46, "For they heard them speak with other tongues and magnified God. And then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So this amazing thing happened, and it was such an important thing. God had to prove to mankind that the way now that that gap is bridged is through the Spirit. And he did it quite forcefully here. I mean, I can only imagine that these Gentiles, as Peter is preaching, they just start pom, 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 praying in tongues. Yeah, there you go, they receive the Spirit. Bang! You know, it's audible. It's something you can see and hear. It's just truly remarkable. And then that's when it twigs with those that are watching. Right, this is what it all means. You know, still takes time, I reckon, because we're in the flesh. It takes time to build up that knowledge and that understanding that this is what it means. And we know further down that Peter did make an error of judgment, as Paul mentioned to him and stood up to him because of that. So still these customs, this baggage was still there. But this important event has happened. And today we take it very seriously that when a child receives the Holy Ghost, speaks in tongues, that's the Lord saying, right, you know, I've chosen them, they're filled with the Spirit. And so then we can baptize them as long as they are ready to repent. And as Lawrence said, we do have a baptism today. Reuben has received the Holy Spirit. And so God has chosen him, filled him with the Holy Spirit. And so who are we to forbid water? If he's got a brain to repent and he knows what it's all about, then we can baptize by full immersion, to fulfill all righteousness. That's the important thing that Jesus said to John the Baptist, just do it, to fulfill all righteousness. And we want to fulfill all righteousness, don't we? We want to be righteous before the living God. Anyway, chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. You know, it's a thin grapevine in the Revival Fellowship. I'm amazed at how quickly the information flows around. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. It's contrary to the law. You shouldn't have done it. You know, it's clearly written in the law that was handed down by Moses. Why did you do this? They were quite angry. Verse 3, saying that... Did I read verse 3? Sorry, verse 4. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, and a certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. And then he goes on, and he continues on to rehearse the whole matter and explain it to these Jews. And verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That statement there appears in all four Gospels, and that statement there appears twice in the book of Acts. That's how important it is. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I, that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You know, the penny dropped. I think, that's what it's all about. Through the Spirit, the power of the living God. What do we got? Yeah, and so today, you know, we've moved a long way away. It's 2,000 years now since this happened. So we've moved away from the whole separation between the Jews and the Gentiles and all that, our whole aspect and the sacrifices and the all that sort of stuff. Circumcision as well, we understand about that, what that actually means spiritually now. And so we've moved on from that. But through our lives, through the Holy Ghost, you know, we rub shoulders as much as we can with other people that are Spirit-filled. We can generate a set of customs, you know, customs, you know, that are in line with the Scriptures, you know, the way we talk, the language we use, even our communion service, the way we operate our meetings can seem peculiar to a lot of people. I mean, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I mean, we always have to remember that, you know, that it is peculiar that we hold fast to what the Scriptures say in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So many other groups don't do that. So that is peculiar. Our customs are peculiar to others. And so that still happens today. There is that separation that immediately occurs through the Spirit because of the way we lead our lives, the way we speak. We don't swear. We don't, as Andrew said, we don't party. We've given up those things. We have a set of, you know, even the guidelines that we have in the assembly to help us to stay unified and focused on the living Lord God, you know, they cause this separation and this peculiarity, you know, where we are raised up above the other people. So over to our 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So there is that gap. There is still a gap between the spiritual Jews and the spiritual Gentiles. There is a gap, but it's through the Spirit. And when we understand that, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. For though I be free from all men, that's how he starts this statement, for though I be free from all men, you know, we've been plucked out, been drawn away from all men. We have the Spirit now. We are separate from all men. Though I'm free from all men, I have no obligation to other people. But then Paul writes, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. You know, there's that gap that is inherent. You know, it's a fact that there is that gap. But what Paul says here, that we may gain the more, he's made himself servant unto all, you know, to be an example and not parade this separation as a form of arrogance. Verse 20, and unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So sometimes the best testimony that we can have is to show how normal we are. You know, just show that, yes, we are everyday people. We do things that other people do here on earth. I remember Graham Black saying that very early on in my walk, you know, and particularly with family. You know, that's sometimes the best testimony, is just showing how normal you are and how devoted you are to the family, knowing still there is that separation through the Spirit. And when you are, you become weak in as you go about your business. Through my early years, I had many friends of different religion, you know, Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims as well. A very good friend of mine was a Muslim. But you become close to them, you use their language. And so around him, you know, I would purposely not eat bacon, you know, like it's just simple as that, or rubbish his beliefs. You know, you draw near that you may win them over. And that's the way you do it. And even with the Hindus, you know, like they have their own rituals and their beliefs, but you don't rubbish that, but you draw near to them and use the language that they understand so that you may gain them. And now more so people that don't even believe in God, you know, we become weak to them and servants so that we may gain them. So we understand the separation. It's so stark to us, but it can be affronting, that separation, to those that aren't with us and scare people off. But also I do understand, you know, we have this this bubbling desire inside us, you know, it's festering away, wanting to explode. And so sometimes we can just be over-exuberant, you know, about things. And that can sometimes work as well, but be wise, you know, wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Romans chapter 10 and verse 12. Romans 10 and verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So regardless whether you're Jew or Greek, doesn't matter anymore, as long as they call upon the name of the Lord, then they'll be saved. You know, that's what the difference is now. You just call upon the name of the Lord, you'll have signs following those who believe. And that's the difference. That's the peculiarity today, is through the Spirit. Last scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2. The New Testament version of the first scripture I read, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, we've been lifted up, spiritually speaking. We've been called out of darkness and into his marvellous light. You know, because Jesus was the light unto the Gentiles, light unto us, you know, that we can look to him. Now we have obtained mercy. Once upon a time, we didn't have mercy, but now we've obtained it. And we can pray to God, not because we're so good, because of all the great things we've achieved, we're so strong in our bodies, how smart we are. We can call unto God because of his mercies, as it says in Daniel there. And we know God is a merciful God. He's called us. He's sanctified us. We are perfect in his eyes, spiritually speaking. We still can see the carnal stuff. We can still see the filth. But if we look at the spiritual stuff, you know, that's what's pure, and that's what God sees. And so we call unto him because of his great mercy. He has called us from a people that were unknown to him, but now we are known to him. And we are a peculiar people. We are that royal priesthood. We have been separated, and we can show the great praises to God for what he's done in our lives. Thank you.